Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. This is episode 84. Episode 84, and the heat wave continues out here in Los Angeles, California, folks. Hot, hot, hot. Hotty, hot, hot. It's just, I was just talking to my friend Deb, and she said, you know, it's kind of nice out right now. It's a cloud cover. It's 90 friggin' degrees. I guess that is kind of nice. We had like 102. Like, I think yesterday was 102 or the day before. But still 90. 90's not, well, whatever. Anyway, it's just hot. And we blame it all on global warming. And if we can all just stop drinking out of plastic bottles, I think, and we just all carry cloth bags, then we could all live happily ever after. That's a little sarcasm, I'm sorry. You know, I've been reading a lot about the global warming thing, and they say that the whole thing about the man-made aspect to it is not correct. You know, not that we shouldn't be, you know, concerned about the environment and pollution. Of course we should, and we should treat the Earth with respect. But the whole global warming thing is got something, according to many scientists, has to do with activity in the sun. It's happened before, and it's happening now. And that's what's going on, because, but there's a whole, you know, there's a whole industry that green, you know, like Al Gore, you know, he made that movie. I had to watch that movie. I never watched it, but I remember my friend of mine saw it, Inconvenient Truth, and he right away went out and got a cloth bag. But the point is that Al Gore is, he's making a lot of money off of that. God bless him. God bless you, Mr. Gore, in your money-making aspect. But who's making money off the sun? Nobody. Even the sun is not making money off itself. It'd be weird if the sun, all of a sudden, the sun said, hey, you know what? I'm not going to give you any more free sun. Okay, you want sun, you got to pay me. The sun becomes like a mafiosa. You want some sun, you got to pay me. And the way you pay me is you got to put it into an account, a PayPal account. Sun, S-U-N, at gmail.com. Why is he talking like a mafia guy? Anyway, it's been hot out here. And I want to wish all my Jewish friends a happy Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah just happened this past week, and very, very, they call them the high holidays. And because that and the next week is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, they call them the high holidays because they're the most, I guess they're the most important holidays. I personally do not feel, I feel a cultural connection to those holidays. I don't feel a spiritual connection or religious connection. I went, you know, I'm not going to, I think I might have talked about my background in Judaism before, but, you know, I'm not feeling the whole Judaism thing. However, culturally and traditionally, yes. And I say that, you know, how the so many, you know, people and groups have been against the Jews throughout time. But I defy an anti-Semite to go to Brett's Deli in Northridge, California, a Jewish deli. I defy an anti-Semite to walk into that deli and not start to love the Jewish culture. I'm telling you, you bring some skinhead Nazi right wing and he walks in and he smells that delicious food, he's going to start crying and go, listen, give me some chop liver and some crap. I am so sorry about my anti-Semitic sentiments. Yeah, so it is the Jewish New Year, and you know, I might have talked about this last year when I did this, but you know, one of the issues I have with the religion is, like, when it comes to high holidays, many of the temples, not all of them, but I'd say many of them, they actually charge, you know, money for people to come into the temple. It's like a concert, like you're buying money to a concert. And I don't know. I just think, you know, it should be a first-come, first-serve free basis. I guess. I don't know. I know that it takes money to run things. And maybe, you know, the reason they do that is not enough support. Otherwise, I don't know. But it just always, you know, kind of struck me wrong. And I used to have a bit I did a few times on stage about, like, scalpers, you know, scalping tickets to the Jewish holidays outside Temple, you know. I'm not going to go into it right now, but that I had a bit about that. And so that's that. That is that. I think I'm going to be hitting some open mics in the next couple weeks. Keep you posted. I'm not going to be advertising it before the fact. I got to go up there and get my stage legs back, as they say. Sea legs, stage legs. And, you know, I'm kind of... looking forward to it. You know, it's I got that feeling in my stomach that you get from, you know, from when you're anticipating doing it, because it's, you know, it's kind of a scary thing. It's like, it's, you know, it's public speaking with the added pressure of getting laughs every few seconds. And, but I've done it many years, many times. I know the score. That doesn't mean that it takes away the anxiety of doing it, but, or getting back into it. But I'm actually looking forward to it. I'm working on some bits. I'm looking over my bit, like some of my old stuff. I had some pretty good old bits from back in the day. I'm not sure I can do a lot of those anymore. I may be able to do them in the future. Some I think I can do, some I can expand on, and I've got, tons of new ideas all the time. All the time I'm coming up with new ideas. Why am I speaking in the Yiddish accent? That doesn't hardly exist anymore, because those people don't even exist anymore. Okay, so let me see. Let's see. It's the latest happening at my Ralph's supermarket. I went in the other day, and this guy that works in the deli department, very nice guy. You know, he's been working there a long time, and he said to me. Hey, you're early, you know, you're kind of early today. I like that when you become such a regular that they kind of can set their clocks by around the time you come in, and they actually notice that you're coming in super, you know, earlier. And I said, yeah, my schedule's changed. Yeah, I got a different schedule. I'm working on different things. You know, and as I'm saying that, I noticed that he's no longer listening to me. He doesn't care. He's just making conversation. He's got stuff to do. He's got friggin' deli stuff to do. It's his job. What does he care? I mean, he was on to, you know, his eyes glazed over. He was talking to one of his coworkers. He probably was saying, well, I care about his schedule. He's early today. I don't care if he's early or late. Just tell me what you want and I'll give it to you. I'll try to give it to you. But I thought that was funny. And then, okay. So, you know, I went cheat day shopping, and I got to say, folks, that, you know, I'm each cheat day, it seems like I'm kind of scaling back my cheats a little bit more and more, because it's, my food is so clean the rest of the time that when my cheat day comes around, some of it doesn't hit me too well, particularly if I eat too much sugar, and, or too much, like I had a slice of pizza yesterday, and I'll talk about that later on, and but I had I had some sugar, but I felt like I didn't have as much as I had like maybe a month ago, you know, like I was really just going crazy on my cheat dates, and now I'm going well, you know what, I could have this again in a week, and but I noticed that, you know, I just don't feel as good when I'm eating this other stuff, if I eat too much of it. But I think what's going to happen is eventually I'll probably just have to find a healthy reward things. Man, I'm going to become like, you know, Jack LaLanne meets the Christ. I'm going to be the Messiah meets the Messiah. I was going the day before cheat day is when I go shopping, and that's the day that I kind of start looking for cheap things to buy. Now, keep in mind, I don't have to buy a darn thing because I got so much ice cream in the freezer. I got four different kinds of M&Ms. I got some cookies. You know, I got some stuff that I froze because, you know, like cake stuff. And I got plenty of stuff. I don't need to buy no freaking cheap stuff. But I do. I always buy stuff. And so I saw at Ralph's they had a... they've got this one ice cream, brand ice cream, that's pretty cheap compared to like the, you know, the other, like the Ben's and Jerry's and the Haagen-Dazs and those kind of. They got a pretty good, you know, some of the flavors are good. So they had a new one, I never saw it, called Semi-Sweet Chocolate Chip, which, hey, that's my name. That was my nickname as a kid. No, just kidding. But I'm a big, you know, chocolate chip fan when it comes to ice cream. And cookie. Let's not get into that because I don't want to talk about that stuff. I don't want to stir up that monster because I'm already on my way to not doing that today. So they had a, I guess it was a half gallon. Usually I get a pint. It's really cheap. But they only had this in half gallon. And they had a big sign that said $3.99. And I go, wow, that's a deal. I mean, of course, you got to have your friggin' Ralph's card to get it, which I now have permanently, you know, in my wallet, so they can track what I'm buying and deal with me accordingly. So I buy it. And I get home and I check my receipt and I notice that they charged me like $5.49 or something like that. You know, it was, you know, wait a minute. So I call over there. I'm feeling very indignant. No, I'm feeling, well, there must be a mistake. And I get this guy on the phone, and, you know, I said, hey, you know, I explained to him what, you know, the sign said $3.99, and, you know, they charged me $5.49. So he goes, oh, well, you know, you could, yeah, just bring it in, and we'll, you know, give you the difference. I said, okay. And then, but then I said to him, but it is $3.99, right? You know, it's right there by the registers. So, you know, I mean, I didn't make the, I mean, and maybe I made a mistake. See, that's the kind of guy I am. I'm big enough to admit when I'm wrong. And I said, maybe I made a mistake. And he said, well, let me check. And he checked. He came back and he said, oh, how many did you buy? And I go, one. He goes, no, you got to buy two to get that price. I said, you got to buy two? He goes, yeah, it's $3.99, but if you buy one, it's $5.49. I said, well, they must have had that in small print. I mean, that's not fair. That's, you know, very deceiving. You know, so I'm not, you know, I want to tell you, Ralphs, you know what? Be straightforward. You know, because when I go to Gougers, when they have a sale like that, like, you know, buy two for, say, like say they have a two for $5 kind of deal on something. If you buy one, they're going to charge you $2.50. You know why? Because they're already gouging you. But, all right, anyway. So that's that. I had not an incident, well, just a very small thing happened at the Whole Foods. I accidentally took somebody's cart. Now, I don't remember ever doing that before. But what happened was I was by the salad bar, and I just got done with the salad bar, and I was looking by the chicken, and I wanted to get a certain chicken, and they didn't have it, or I don't know. I got involved with the chicken thing, so I was walked away from my cart. And then I came back to the salad bar. Oh, and then I put my... And then I made my salad from the salad bar, okay? I didn't even make my salad from the salad bar yet. So I went to the chicken thing. I couldn't get the chicken I wanted. And then I go to the salad bar. I make my salad. I put the salad in the cart. And I walk away and I go to the produce department. And I walk away from the cart and I go to get something. And I come back and I can't find my cart. But I see my salad bar thing, container, in somebody else's cart. And then I realize, oh my goodness, I took somebody else's cart. And then all of a sudden this young girl comes walking up with this kind of odd look on her face. And I said, is this your cart? She said, yeah. I said, I'm so sorry. And she, you know, she didn't, I don't know, she didn't have a sense of humor or. You know how a lot of people just go, don't worry about it. Or, you know, she just was more like, maybe I'm just projecting. Like, maybe it was almost like she was creeped out by it. I was creeped out by it. I was creeped out that my salad bar, my salad was in her cart. So I took my salad and went back to the salad bar, and there was my cart with my other stuff in it, just waiting. Very, very well behaved. My cart was very, very well behaved. It wasn't causing a ruckus. It wasn't saying anything bad or mean or crying or yelling. It didn't have to go to the manager, so the manager had to go on the PA. Will the owner of the cart by the salad bar please come? We found your lost cart. Anyway, so that's I think that's all the news on all my food news this week. Well, not all my food news. So I'm going to be talking about pizza in a little bit, but not just yet. That's all the supermarket food news. So we have a situation here in my apartment complex where, you know, there's a lot of dogs in this neighborhood. People walk their dogs, and, you know, dogs have to excrete their wastes, And we have a prominent signs that say, please pick up your dog dew, your dog poo, because, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. It's unhealthy and blah, blah, blah. And I would say most people do that, but sometimes people don't. And the other day I was busy exercising, and I was in the front of the I was in the courtyard, and I was doing this, I was cooling down from between sets of a particular physical therapy exercise, and I opened the door to the front of the building to kind of, just kind of open it for a minute, and there was a gentleman there who I did not know, with his little dog, looked like one of those pugs or boxers, I couldn't tell. And the dog is in the squatting position, and he starts to do his thing. And now I just stand there, and I pretend to be looking for somebody. But what I'm really doing is I am now officially on dog do patrol. Because if this guy does not pick up his dog do, I shall be saying something to him. And so I'm just, you know, looking out like I'm waiting for somebody to show up. You know, maybe I'm waiting for the dog do catcher. And I stood there and stood there, and thank goodness that the man took out his little plastic hand thing and bent down and took away the dog do. I was so happy about that. I had to call the managers of my building the other day. You know, the managers are Aaron and Janet. And when Gus was the manager, if you recall, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, I used to say that Gus was the on-site manager, because we have, these are on-site managers. They live here, and they're supposed to be on-site. I used to say Gus was the on-site manager who is rarely on-site, because he, you know, he worked full-time. And that's what's happening now. You know, Aaron is got a very demanding job, so he's gone from very early in the morning to very late at night. And Janet has a job where she's gone most of the time during the day. And so I had a situation where, you know, it wasn't an emergency, but I called their number. And I called the number of the building. And, you know, this is kind of annoying. I'm going to ask them to change this, because you call up, it's bad enough there's nobody on site that you can talk to. Okay, whatever. I accept that. I'll work with you on this. But there's a voicemail, and it's one of these, like, droning, thank you for calling the blah, blah, blah place. You know, please leave your name, your number. Leave your number slowly. Leave it twice, and we will get back to you as soon as we can. Thank you for calling. I mean, come on already. You know, that's an outgoing message for somebody who's trying to get an apartment here. Not for one of your tenants. So I'm going to tell them, listen, you just put a thing where, hi, if you're a tenant, press 2 and go, hi, please leave your name and your number, and we'll get back to you. And so so I left two messages, because I left a message. I'm not going to go into detail about. I thought there might be I might need a repair on something, which I still may do. And then I ended up talking to Deb, and then she said, "Well, oh, you know, you could just spray this kind of thing on it, blah blah blah." And then I talked to Rudy, and he said he would come over and do it the next day, which he did. So I left her, so then I called another message, I left another message for them saying, well, you know, maybe we don't have to, I'm going to try this thing with my friend. So there's two messages. And then I finally get a message back from Janet. Now, Janet's from Colombia, so English is her second language. And I don't care, no matter how many times, anytime I leave a message for her, she never understands what I'm talking about. You know, I've left pretty clear message, and so she calls me up and she goes, hello? I go, yeah. And she goes, you called? I go, yeah. Well, what did you say? And I go, really? You're asking me, you don't know what I said. You have no idea what I'm talking about. So I don't know, either she's not listening or she doesn't understand. I don't know, but it was just like, it was a little bit, you know, I mean, come on. I mean, I could just, for that, I'm not going to leave anything anymore. I'll just leave, I mean, if I leave, I'm not going to leave a message specifically unless it's an emergency. You know, say, hey, yo, we got an emergency. Get over here. I think in the future, I'll just say, hey, it's Al. Call me. I got to talk to you. Because it's a waste of time. I'm going to tell you all the stuff that what I think needs to be done or possibly needs to be done. And they're going to go, what? What did you say? What? So, I'm done with that. I don't know, these smiley faces that you when you text people. I suggested to this girl I know that we should get something to eat sometime. She sent me a smiley face back, so I'm not sure if that means we should get something to eat sometime. Or, I mean, you know, because that's kind of vague. It wasn't specific. Like, I wasn't saying, let's go get something to eat Tuesday. We'd expect, you know, but I guess the smiley face, or maybe she's laughing at me going, what, are you kidding me? It wasn't like a date thing. All right, whatever. Whatever. So I had to call my, the company that hosts my website, GoDaddy, in my email, because I had a situation with my email that was, I needed some technical support. And so I call up and I get this kid on the phone. I say kid. You know, I know he's a kid, but, you know, younger guy. And, you know, and you know, it's not easy dealing with, it's, you know, I'm not technologically savvy to begin with, but, you know, we're talking on the phone, and it's not like he's here and we're talking and both looking at my screen. He could not look at my email because they don't have access to the actual email. But anyway, it turned out that he was able to resolve the issue, and we did it, and it was great. And so, the next day, I get an email from GoDaddy asking to take a survey. You know, again with the surveys, these companies with their surveys. So I decided, you know, that, you know, all right, I'll take a survey because this guy did a good job. And so, you know, it said something like, you know, how satisfied were you? I said, extremely satisfied. Did the person help you? Yes, he was very good. Would you recommend our services? Yes, I would. You know, do you think we're a pretty good company? Yes, I do. And then they started to get, then it became like this weird, it took a weird turn in the survey. Like they said, do you consider GoDaddy a partner in your business? And it's just like, what are you talking about, a partner? I mean, what is this? You know, what's the next question? Do you love GoDaddy? You know, who's your GoDaddy? Who's your, get on your knees and tell me who your GoDaddy is. Would you kill for your GoDaddy? I'm just like, you know what, I'm done. Goodbye. Goodbye with your friggin', you know, it's too much information, folks. Enough with the information. You don't need to know all this stuff. You know, how much information can you take in? I can hardly take any information, you know, online. What the hell are you people trying to pull? I had an encounter with a gentleman this week, yesterday, who I called him, I won't go into the specifics of it, but let's say his name is Jones. I said, well, thank you, you know, and I don't really know the gentleman. Oh, nice, okay, well, okay, Mr. Jones, thank you. And he said, well, I prefer to be called Dr. Jones. And I said, oh, I didn't know you were a doctor. What type of doctor are you? What's your specialty? And he goes, well, I'm a professor of, you know, studies at the University of blah, 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 and blah, 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 study. And it's just like, you know what, shut up. I prefer to be called doctor. You know what? If there's an accident or somebody, you know, falls ill and they yell out in a movie theater, is there a doctor in the house? Are you going to stand up? I'm a doctor. I'm a doctor of studies. I study clinical psychology. Shut up. You're not a doctor. You're a PhD. There's a big difference. I think it's like, I don't think they should be called doctors. I think they should be called PhDs. You know, what does PhD stand for? Personal hygienist doofus? No, I know it's a doctorate. I get that, but it's not a doctor. It's not like the guy that freaking worked on my hips and went to school for a billion years. You know, I get it. You PhDs go for school for a long time too. But stop with the high horse. I prefer to be called doctor. Shut up. I prefer that I smack you in the head. All right. A little hostility there. Sorry. Okay, and this brings me to the pizza, okay? Yesterday being my cheat day, I'm driving in Echo Park, Silver Lake, California, kind of the hipster area near downtown, and there's this pizza place that I believe is, they started in New York. They got a New York place, maybe more than one. And I had read about it or heard about it somehow. You know, it's a New York pizza-style pizza. It's supposed to be really good. Hey, you know what? Cheat day? Let me check it out. So I go in to the place, and they're not very busy. And there's this, you know, girl behind the counter, one of these hipster women, young girls. And, I'm trying to be kind of like, you know, cordial, friendly. And she's just sort of being like, you know, kind of too cool for school type of thing. All right, and it's like, all right, fine. I'm not being like overly friendly. So I go, so they got plenty, they got several pizza pies. We call them back east, we call them pizza pies. You know, where you can get they show you like, you know, different pizzas. And so there's one, and I go, what's that? And she goes, well, that's, you know, it says it right there on the tag. And I look down, and there's this little tag that's about a quarter of an inch wide. And it says, oh, yeah, right, it does say it, you're right. But it's just like, I just thought her attitude was really kind of crappy. And I go, well, can I get a slice? And she goes, well, yeah, they're all here for slices. All right, could you get more attitude? All right, give me a slice, please, of this. And then they charge $4 for a slice. Okay, whatever, fine, $4. And so I give her $5, and she's got a chip jar. Now, ordinarily, you know, I would give somebody like that maybe a buck if it was a pleasant encounter. But I was like, you know what? Screw you. I'm not giving you a dollar for what? For being nasty to me? If I was in the mood for you to be nasty to me, you know, if I was in like a dominatrix kind of mood, all right, maybe I'd give you a buck. You know, give me a little S&M kind of thing. But, you know, I wasn't in that mood. So then she started to get a little bit friendlier. Maybe she got a little friendlier with me towards the tipping portion. But I was just like, hey, you know, forget it. I sat down, I ate it. And I got to tell you, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. It had some ingredient that I really don't like. I don't know if it was too much oregano, but it was some kind of herb, I think. And it was just too much. And I didn't like it, and it's too much of it, and it made me actually a little nauseous afterwards. And I was very disappointed, and I won't be going back there anytime soon. I might, you know, say it'll probably be a long, long time. I'd have to go back, maybe I have to be really in the mood for pizza and make sure that there's no, like, make sure I knew every ingredient that I was going to get. You know, if I would have checked out, you know, when she said there was sausage and tomato and cheese, you know, to me, I'm thinking of, you know, a slice with sausage. You know, that's good. Where I come from, that's the way we do it. But it wasn't up to my liking. And then I left, and you know, I told her thank you, and she said, and she's, I think she, I don't know if she thanked me, and she said goodbye. But you know, she, her too cool for school attitude kind of, you know, warmed up a little bit, but not enough for a dollar, okay? I don't need you. I'm going to give you a dollar. Why am I tipping you anyway? I mean, just because you're a low-wage employee, I'm supposed to, you know, tipping is for good service, you know. Get a job as a dominatrix. They'll not tip you a dollar. I'm sorry. All right, so then I go out into the... So my car is on the street there. Where else would my car go? Well, it could be in a garage. And it's parked at a parking meter, which are very, you know, complicated now. Like, I get there, and I didn't realize the meter had money. Well, it said, you know, like it had 56 minutes on it, but I wasn't sure, so I put a quarter in, and then it had, like, a little over an hour. You know, so I was only in there for maybe 10, 15 minutes. I come out, and there's a parking enforcement person who's chalking tires. So I say hi to her. I go, hey, are you chalking my tires? She goes, no. Well, you're leaving anyway, right? I go, yeah, I'm leaving. And then I go, well, by the way, what's the, you know, I didn't really look at the sign. Because they don't have the signs conveniently laid out either. It's all designed so that they, so you screw up and then, and I'll show you, I'll give you an example. Because you screw up and have to pay the city money. And I go, well, what's the requirement for, or, you know, I mean, what would constitute having, you know, getting a ticket? And she said, well, you know, if you've been here for 2 hours, you know, we chalk your tire and we come back and you're still here, you know, after 2 hours, what you have to do is you have to move your car. And I said, oh, so I said, so you can just move your car, come back and park again and you're good. She goes, yeah, but you have to park. Listen to this. This is going to crack you up. You have to park 3 spots away from the spot that you were at. And I go, are you kidding me? She goes, yeah, you can't, like, drive away and, you know, come back and park in the exact same spot if there was money in it, which, you know, okay, whatever. But you can't even park 1 or 2 spots away. You got to park 3 spots. And I go, well, how are you supposed to know that? And she laughs and she goes, you're not. See, that's the way the game is designed. You're not supposed to know it. You're supposed to, you know, maybe come back. Because this happened to me many, many years ago. I parked, I had this job where you couldn't park, you know, at a certain hour, and then you could park. So then I showed up, and I sat in my car waiting for the time. There was no parking meters, but I was waiting for the time for it to open up. It was only like a couple minutes, and the parking enforcement lady came by, and she said to me, you know, you can't be here now. And I go, I'm just waiting for the thing to open up. She goes, yeah, I know, but you're supposed to not be here. And so, you know, you're just going to have to drive around the block, you know. And I'm going to leave, she said. So she was letting me know, you just drive around the block, I'm going to leave, and then you can park. And these are the games we have to play in life, folks. If we want to, you know, if we want to live it for the city, yes. Old Stevie Wonder song. A boy is a girl. No, it's a girl is born in hard time Mississippi, surrounded by a world that ain't so pretty. All right. Gosh, this was a long podcast. I'm done. I got to get out of here. I got things to do. Thanks for listening to my podcast. You know, the technological, I'm not even going to get into it, but I know it's going to be happening soon. We're going to have the big conversion, and every device known to man will be able to get Al Berman live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. And so, until next week, this is Al Berman live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California.